How often have you found yourselves in a situation wherein you knew change was needed, but you had no idea of how to bring it about? And sometimes you got to the point where you just really just stopped and said, well, do we really need to change anything? Can we just let things go on as they are? Well, I want to take you back to a conversation that I had with Ms. Laurie Polich Short, as she shared some tremendous principles with us from her book, When Changing Nothing.
Sky traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am so glad that you had a chance to hear that song, the opening of it anyway, because as our guest, yours and mine, shared with me, this song really helps to say a lot about how we see. She's going to be sharing with us some tremendous insights from her book, When Changing Nothing Changes Everything. She's the lovely and brilliant Miss Laurie Polich Short. Laurie, how are you doing?
Great, Carl. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It is truly my pleasure. And I tell you what, Laurie, you are talking about something that, and you've written about something that has to do with so much of how we live, even when we don't realize it, and that is seeing through eyes of faith. I want to ask you this, though, before we begin to get into your book. I would love for all of us, the listening community and me, to get to know more about you. So we can just get to know you better. So talk with us a little bit about Laurie's childhood.
Okay. Well, I was born a long time ago, longer than I'd like to admit, Carl. So, I lived my whole life in California. I'm out here, a West Coast girl. My grandparents actually both came from Serbia, and my grandfather was an immigrant. He came right after he turned 18, landed on Ellis Island, and then he ended up marrying my grandmother out in California, and they raised my dad and my uncle. And eventually my dad married my mom, who was a little bit more of a mix, an East Coast girl, who moved out to California. And then they had my two brothers and me. And unfortunately, my parents divorced, and so my dad and mom both remarried, and my dad actually had more kids. So we've got I always call it a part, you know, you start listing your family, and then you say, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's getting very complicated with the half sisters and all that, but we all love each other, and for that I'm very grateful. So I am actually, Carl, the oldest of them all. So,
okay.
Yes, the oldest child, and with that comes its blessings, and also we tend to struggle a bit with trying to control our universe as oldest children.
Yes. So, I was going to ask you if you had the pleasure of helping to raise any of your younger siblings.
You know, not really. I had two brothers, full brothers, and my brother was too busy beating me up for me to raise him. So he was pretty close in age to me. He was just 2 years younger. And then we had a third child my parents had who was actually 9 years younger than me. And I was a little bit of a second mom to him. I loved parading him around. You know, I was in fifth grade, and so it was really fun for me to participate in that a little bit. So I guess that would be the closest I came to being kind of like a second mom.
Okay.
But now he's a good 6 inches taller than me now. So,
so no more
it doesn't
raising
work anymore.
Good brother.
No, and no more.
Him around.
No, we're all raising our own kids now. So
that's beautiful. So what were some of the greater challenges that you experienced as a child that tend to have impacted you in your adulthood? I know you said that you have the blended family, and I imagine there was some impact there, but what else was going on?
Well, absolutely. Again, both blessings and hardships, I think, are a part of all of our family trees. And actually,
yes,
I have a whole chapter in the book about how it's a part of the rear view, looking back, how much insight that can give you into why you are wired the way you are, why you respond the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, I think, can be so tied into so many things that happened to us as a child. I mean, I really was pretty happy. My parents were very well off. My dad had a very successful construction business that actually my grandfather handed over to him. And so I had that upbringing. You know, my parents were in their 20s when they had us, so they were very young. And I would say the biggest impact spiritually was that I was raised in the Serbian Orthodox Church and baptized as a baby by the priest, and my grandparents were responsible for planting several Serbian Orthodox churches all over the country. Yes, and so that part of my heritage, I always grew up believing in God. However, it wasn't as much of a personal relationship as when I got to high school and then got involved in a Young Life club, actually. I don't know if you're familiar with Young Life, but it was an organization, a parachurch organization, and volunteer leaders who were generally college-aged or in their 20s had access to coming on campus. It's very different now in our culture, but
yes, ma'am.
They would come on campus and they got to know a lot of the kids, and so we would go to this club on Tuesday nights, and we would play games and have fun, but they would also present the gospel. And through that, I ended up going to a camp my senior year, and Carl, I actually went for the very spiritual reason that my boyfriend at the time was going to the camp, and I wanted to be with him, which is a common level of spirituality with students. I always say, don't ever underestimate how God gets people there, because,
yes.
You know, you never know what's going to happen. And that weekend in Forest Home, I don't even remember the speaker, but I heard a message that really started the trajectory of changing my life. I heard that I could have a personal relationship with this God that I always believed in, but that it was my choice, that I could respond yes or no, and he wasn't going to push his way into my life. And so I just felt that tug in my heart. Even though I had believed in him, I just felt like, no, I want to respond. I want to say yes. And so I remember standing up that senior year, and after that, it was, I always like to compare it to when you're sailing and your compass in your sailboat. If you change the compass just 1 degree, you won't really notice a big difference. But if you follow that 1 degree change over hundreds of miles, you will have drastically altered your course.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think that's really what happened to me. It wasn't that I came home and suddenly everything changed, but there was a seed planted in me that completely changed my life and eventually led me into the ministry.
Wow, that is something else. And so you went there for one purpose, left with at least on some level another purpose. You went there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I went just to hang out with my boyfriend. But yes, I heard, as we all know, the Holy Spirit, you know, when he's working, you never know what he's going to do. And certainly my heart just was prepared for that. And so, again, there were many other things that happened after that that led me to the ministry. In fact, one of the stories that I tell in the book, kind of an interesting story, is one of my very best friends in high school and through Young Life was a girl named Lori Warren. And her dad at the time was the dean of psychology at Fuller Seminary. And his name is Neil Clark Warren. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody who's listening, but he is the founder of eHarmony.com.
Really?
So, yes, Neil Clark Warren.
Okay.
But at the time, Carl, and this is going to age me, but the internet had not even been invented. So, but I will tell you that he spoke into my life. And I always say, and maybe this is a word to any listener, that to speak into somebody's life, even when they might not fully realize what you're saying, especially to a child or a student or somebody who's growing up, to speak into their life something you see in them can be so powerful. And you might not see it right away, but it can have a huge impact on their life. And Dr. Warren, one time, Lori and I, you know, I had become a Christian but was still struggling with the whole living a Christian life, and we had been out to a concert the night before and had way too much to drink, and the next morning we had spent the night there, and we were walking up into the kitchen just feeling terrible and trying to get a piece of bread, and for whatever reason, I'll never forget this, Dr. Warren took that opportunity, and he just said, you know what, Lori, I think someday you're going to go to seminary. And I remember just thinking in my mind, no way. I don't, he's such a dear man, but he's deluded. And when 10 years later I was sitting in my seminary classes, I thought back to that and thought, wow, he really spoke into my life. And I tell a funny story in the book of just saying, I should have said back to him, someday you're going to start an internet business that's going to be responsible for thousands of Christian marriages. But he would have said, what's an internet business? Anyway, we never know about those moments in our lives.
I tell you what, because something, and I guess that's part of the beauty of life, we know in part, we don't know in full, and that kind of keeps us guessing. Of course, if it were one extreme or the other, if we didn't know anything, we couldn't see any of the big picture, that would be frustrating. But if we saw everything, we might be too terrified and say, no, Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, is Ms. Lori Polich. Short, and she has written a book, When Changing Nothing Changes Everything. This is all about the power of reframing your life. She and I will be right back, so stay with us. I've been around.